30 times faster than dial-up. While Blue is internet via satellite, that's fast, available where you live, and so affordable, there's no reason to stay on dial-up. So even if you're in Franklin, Minnesota, you can now be sure they have Wild Blue satellite speed internet. The same high-speed internet available in every Franklin in the U.S. Because Wild Blue reaches you, too.
Get free standard installation if you call right now. Call 1-866-WILD-BLUE. It's a great deal. Call 1-866-WILD-BLUE or visit wildblue.com today. For complete terms and conditions, visit wildblue.com.
Back here at the American Freedom Network, and with us this morning is our good friend William Federer, and we carry a number of his books, America's God and Country, his book on the Riddias of St. Nicholas, the Riddias of Santa Claus, his book on George Washington Carver, his books on who was that fellow over there in Ireland?
St. Patrick.
St. Patrick, right. Well, anyway, but this morning we're going to get a lesson in the history of Mexico, because with the immigration reform coming along, most people really don't understand the history of Mexico or the part that the United States has played in shaping the Mexico that exists today. A Mexico where you have a handful of billionaires and you have a nation of really impoverished people. You have an elitist system there, and of course America was instrumental in many ways in bringing this about and allowing it to continue. And of course, many of our leaders have actually provoked what's going on today. We have laws against illegal immigration back in 1986 when we gave amnesty to a million. Well, there weren't really a million. There were 2.7 million people who were living here illegally. They lied to us at that time. They said, there's only a million. We'll make them all legal. At least we'll give them amnesty. And of course, then we will seal the border, and they passed laws that sealed the border. They passed laws that made it illegal for people to hire illegal aliens, and they passed all the laws that they've refused consistently to enforce. Now, they'll send Martha Stewart to prison because she got a stock tip, but they refuse to enforce the federal laws to seal our border, and you have to ask why. Let's go ahead and get the history of Mexico down, and we'll conjecture later on why we're not doing what is logical to protect America, unless there is an agenda there to change America forever. And with that as a background, William Federer, you pick up your story.
Well, first of all, it's great to be with you, Dr. Stan. And it is amazing that two nations right next to each other can be so totally different in their freedoms, prosperity, and in the direction of their countries. And when we look at some of the contrasting ways that the two different countries were founded, it highlights that. And I thought it was interesting when I was studying on the current immigration situation to look at the history of Mexico. And indeed, the Indians, of course, came across from the Bering Strait over 5,000 years ago, and there are many Native American empires, the Mayan, for example, from 250 A.D. to 900 A.D., and when it mysteriously vanished. But then the Aztec Empire, which is another word for Aztec, was Mexica, which is where we get the word Mexican. And they were in power from 1325 A.D. to 1521 A.D. when Cortez conquered Mexico. And a little background, the Muslims had conquered all of North Africa, all of the Middle East, all of Turkey. Finally, the Muslims conquered Constantinople over in Europe in 1452, and this cut off all the trade routes from Western Europe to get to India and China. And so it started this effort for Western Europeans to find alternative routes to get to India and China, and that's when Columbus sailed west. And so Columbus didn't realize he was going to discover a new land. He thought the Indians were the natives around India. Nevertheless, when they came across, they began to settle the islands, and Columbus was Italian, and the Spanish settlers that he brought over were Spanish, and the Spanish didn't like the Italians. And so when Columbus, who in his own right was not a very good administrator, he was a great explorer, but not a good administrator. Well, when these Spanish settlers began to complain, they even planned a mutiny against Columbus. Columbus caved in and came up with the encomienda system, where every Spanish settler got a plot of land, and whatever Indians happened to be on that land, they were supposed to take care of, well, like wards of the state. Instead of taking care of, they basically enslaved them, and the Indians were not used to the harsh labor, plus the diseases that came over with the Europeans, eventually smallpox, which wiped out millions. And then in response, the Spanish brought over African slaves to repopulate the islands to work as slaves for them, because the native Indian population died off. Anyway, in 1519 is when Cortez decided to conquer Mexico. The Aztec Empire stretched from the Atlantic to the Pacific. It was huge, millions of people. Unfortunately, they were involved with human sacrifice, and they would conquer the neighboring tribes and force those neighboring tribes to give them slaves to sacrifice. The estimates are at least 20,000 a year. When they dedicated their one huge temple, the estimates were over 80,000 were killed just at that dedication. All year long, the Aztecs thought that they had to keep the sun burning by shedding human blood, and a horrible practice. When Cortez was heading toward Mexico City, interesting story, here a 36-year-old guy, he lands with his ships there at Veracruz, which he named True Cross, and he burnt his ships to tell his sailors that you're not going back, it's either going forward or dying. In the process, they met a priest who had been shipwrecked and had lived amongst the natives and knew their language. And then a short while later, they picked up a girl who had been an Aztec, so she knew the Aztec language plus his Indian language. And then the priest knew the Indian language and then Spanish, and so they interpreted for Cortez. As he made his way toward Mexico City, these other tribes helped him to fight the Aztecs, and it didn't help any that the Aztecs' style of warfare was not to kill your enemy, but to capture them alive so you could use them later for sacrifices. So the Spanish weaponry was far superior, plus with the horses and so forth, that the Indians had never seen a horse before. When they go into Mexico City, they had huge temples and shrines. The Mexico City was built on a lake. They called it Tenochtitlan. And
we'll be back in just a minute here with William Federer.
Constitutional Moments are brought to you throughout the day through the generosity of C&C Prototype Machine, Boulder, Colorado. Modern Bible scholars teach that the church will miraculously be kept from the tribulation in an event called the rapture. Yet the Bible is strangely quiet about such an event. The Watchman's Cry is a fascinating new book by Obadiah Frank that makes the study of the last days understandable. Using clear explanations, the notion that the church will be raptured before the time of the Great Tribulation is proven a dangerous deception. The Watchman's Cry is available from the American Freedom Network for only $10 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
The American Freedom Network has a growing list of videos available. We like to show people the good things about life in America. These videos depict great events, inspirational music, and very special people. If you couldn't be here to see them live, call 1-800-205-6245 for title and price information. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer, is a new book written by scientist Thomas Smith. In this self-help manual for diabetes and other blood sugar handling problems, you will learn the true cause of this disease and, more importantly, what you can do about it.
Insulin, Our Silent Killer is available from the American Freedom Network for only $25 postpaid. Call 1-800-205-6245.
It's extensively referenced with helpful tables to learn what foods are good and which ones are not. This is a must-read for everyone.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Network. Our guest this morning is William Federer, and we're going into the history of Mexico, and of course we're talking about the Aztecs. You pick up the story there.
Well, in my American Minute for February 10th, I write, Cortez ordered his ship sunk. There was no turning back. With 500 men, Cortez set out this day, February 10th, 1519, toward Mexico City. Cortez's secretary, Francisco Lopez de Gomara, recorded that after they triumphantly entered the city, Montezuma proudly showed them his grand buildings, including a theater made of human bones, wherein was counted 136,000 skulls, a tower made from skulls too numerous to count, walls and steps covered with human blood, pits where human bodies were thrown after people had eaten off arms and legs, black-robed priests with hair matted down in human blood. Soldier Bernal Diaz del Castillo recorded that Cortez remarked, "Señor Montezuma, I do not understand how such a great prince and wise man as you has not come to the conclusion that these idols of yours are not gods but devils." He explained to him very clearly about the creation of the world and how we are all brothers, sons of one father and one mother who were called Adam and Eve, that a cross where they asked why we worshipped it was a sign of the other cross on which our Lord God was crucified for the salvation of the human race. And accordingly, the records were that Montezuma converted. But when the situation got a little tense with Cortez's men being in the middle of the city, that Cortez got word that some of the Spaniards had, another group had landed and were coming to stop him, he sort of was a little bit of a renegade, Cortez was, and took off on his voyage without complete approval. Anyway, Cortez leaves his second in charge in there in Mexico City. He goes out to fight this other Spanish army and defeats him. But in the process, there was a black slave who was with this other group who had smallpox. And when he somehow came in contact with one of Cortez's soldiers during the battle, then Cortez's soldier came back to Mexico City with Cortez. They found that Cortez's second in command saw the Indian ceremony and thought they were planning an uprising, so he went out and killed a whole bunch of the Indians, and so then they walled up inside the royal palace and they were holding Montezuma captive. Cortez comes back and they stand Montezuma up to try to tell him to calm the people down, but the people stone Montezuma, hit him in the head, and he eventually dies. And so Cortez and his men have to escape, and it being in the middle of this lake, they had to cross the causeways, and the Indians blocked a bunch of them and took down some of the bridges, and so they'd have to swim and climb across. And the story is that some of Cortez's men had loaded their pockets with gold, and unfortunately the gold was too heavy and they sank. So that's a commentary on that. Anyway, one of the other things that happened was the soldier that had contracted smallpox had died and was left there in the city. Meanwhile, Cortez goes back to Veracruz and waits a year and then plans his attack again. This time, they finally get into the capital city of Mexico and find out that most of the people are dead. The disease was smallpox had spread, and one of the historians, Bernal Diaz wrote, "I solemnly swear that all the houses and stockades and lakes were full of heads and corpses. It was in the name, the same streets and courts. We could not walk without treading over bodies, houses of dead." Says, "I've read about the destruction of Jerusalem, but I do not think the mortality was greater than here in Mexico. Indeed, the stench was so bad that we could not endure it. Even Cortez was ill from the odors." And but what happened was that the Indians had little resistance to these Western European diseases. And anyway, that was a key part in conquering the Aztec Empire. The smallpox actually spread through messengers to the Incan Empire and basically destroyed it before Pizarro ever got there, there in the Andes Mountains. But 10 years after Cortez had conquered Mexico, they had built churches and knocked down a lot of the shrines to these temples and so forth, to these pagan gods. And but there was just a small group of Spaniards that were basically controlling the country, and there was a planned uprising in the works when the story in 1531, so this is just 10 years after 1521, Indian convert, the story is that he was walking toward Mexico City. He was about 6 miles away, and on a hill he saw the Virgin Mary, and the story goes that he picked some roses and put it into his poncho and then took it to the bishop there, and opened up his poncho, and there was a picture of Our Lady of Guadalupe. You know, without getting into the veracity of the painting, the facts of history show that this painting was so influential, it basically was the reason that 15 million Mexican Indians converted to Catholicism in just a few years. The Indians on the hill where this vision was reported was the hill of the Tenantzin, who was the Aztec goddess, mother goddess. And so when the Virgin Mary's picture was there, it was to the sign to these Indians that this new religion had supplanted the old religion. And in the Guadalupe picture, it shows Mary's foot crushing a serpent, and so they took that as Quetzalcoatl, their serpent god, was crushed. And the stories are that, you know, in these Catholic churches, that they'd baptize 10,000 a day. They would just come in a line, and they would just pour the water on their heads. Now, obviously, they didn't have a large contingent of priests to teach theology, and there was some syncretism that went on initially where they mixed some of their pagan practices with Christianity, but the long and short of it is they did convert, and it influenced Mexican history. And to this day, Mexico is still 89% Catholic, and the faith does play a part in their history. Unfortunately, there was the rich Spaniards were at odds with the Catholic Church. The rich Spaniards that owned these encomiendas, the first 10 years, they didn't even admit that the Indians had souls. There was a Spanish ruler named Guzman, who said that they didn't have souls, and so he would just, you know, work them as slaves, and they would die, and so forth. So finally, the Catholic Church appealed to the Pope, and they got the ruling that, yes, these were human beings and they did have souls, and so the Catholic Church was a conscience to try to hold these rich landowners in check. And but that was the way it broke down. There was the Spaniards that controlled the country. The Mestizos, which were Spanish-Indian mix, they were sort of the second in the ruling order, and then the poor Indians were at the bottom of the ladder. And that breakdown is basically the same way it is today. You have the small group of rich, then you have a small group of middle class, but then you have a very large majority of poor people. And and then in tracing the history on up, there was a priest in 1810 that began a rebellion against the Spanish. And what happened was Napoleon had invaded Spain, and put his brother on the throne. And so the Spanish in the New World decided this was a good time to rebel. And even though the wealthy wanted to rebel and set up a monarchy in Mexico, but just have it not be connected with Spain, the grassroots people wanted a populist rebellion to give rights similar to America having given rights. It was a bloody revolution. The priest that started it, Miguel Hidalgo, unfortunately was killed himself. And they came up with a constitution in 1824, which was very similar to the U.S. Constitution. It didn't last long, and it began this 100-year trend of a ruler taking over and ruling for a while and then being killed, and then another ruler taking over, ruling for a while. I think only one Mexican president in that first 100 years actually completed his term in office without there being some revolution. Well, part of the Constitution of 1824, it set aside that the Catholic Church was the official church of Mexico, and it got state support. And so the Catholic Church worked together with these Mexican rulers. And then in 1831 was when Santa Anna decided to overthrow the Constitution, and he wanted to become a dictator. He went around to the different provinces that were rebelling against him, Chiapas, Yucatan, San Luis Potosi, and Texas. These were provinces that were rebelling against Santa Anna, and he was just butchered and killed the different people that had rebelled. Very cruel. And you can see why the colonists there in Texas wanted to rebel against him. One of the other things that he did was incite the natives on the frontiers, the Indians. One of the American Minutes that I wrote for March 2nd, it says, the Alamo Mission at San Antonio was in its seventh day of being assaulted by thousands of Santa Anna's troops. On the 13th day, his take-no-prisoner policy had all 189 defenders in San Antonio killed, including Jim Bowie and former U.S. Congressman Davy Crockett. The only Texas Army left in the field was Colonel James Fannin's. It departed Goliad to rescue the Alamo, but was surrounded in open ground and captured. Santa Anna ordered all 350 prisoners executed. When the Mexican officer hesitated, Santa Anna sent another who carried out the order. And had Fannin's troops simply been left in prison, Texas would have been disheartened, but instead Santa Anna's cruelty aroused worldwide outrage. The Texas Declaration of Independence, signed March 2nd of 1836, stated, General Antonio Lopez Santa Anna demanded us to deliver up our arms, which are essential to our defense, the rightful property of free men, formidable only to tyrannical governments, and through its emissaries has incited the merciless savage with a tomahawk and a scalping knife to massacre the inhabitants of our defenseless frontiers. We fearlessly commit the issue to the supreme arbiter of the destinies of nations. And so there in the Texas Declaration of Independence, they acknowledged God. But continuing, when those 3,000 troops of Santa Anna attacked, it was a 13-day battle. In just a few years earlier, in 1833, is when Santa Anna rejected their constitution and became the dictator. But one of the other stories, we always hear about the Alamo, but in Zacatecas, Santa Anna defeated Francisco Garcia, took 3,000 prisoners, and let his army ransack the city for 48 hours. There was another federal Mexican general named Jose Antonio Mejia, M-E-X-I-A, and he marched from New Orleans to Tampico to fight Santa Anna, and he was defeated, and every prisoner was executed. And in that Texas Declaration of Independence, it says, General Antonio Lopez Santa Anna, having overturned the constitution of his country, now offers us cruel alternative, either abandon our homes or submit to the most intolerable tyranny. He denies us the right of worshiping the Almighty according to the dictates of our own conscience. So, basically, it was Santa Anna's fault for all this mess. And the Mexican people didn't like him either. That's why they rebelled. But it settled down, and in 1845 is when Texas became a U.S. state. In 1848 is when we had the Mexican-American War, and we actually had to, and this was again against Santa Anna, we had to send troops into Mexico, with General Robert E. Lee being the logistics coordinator.
All right, we'll be back in just a minute with William Petter and the history of Mexico and the relationship between our countries.
Brightside Health Food Store. I believe my ministry is to help heal the sick and that God is allowing me to reach people through superior products. StressX has over 45 years of research by 1,200 scientists and 3,300 studies. StressX has proven itself superior when compared to other products and passes all requirements for Olympic athletes. Call me at 303-833-2784 to find out how StressX boosts your energy, improves performance, increases endurance, and provides greater mental alertness. That's 303-833-2784.
Rocky Mountain Shooters, your supplier of both new and used guns, handling all major brands with over 350 guns in inventories. We'll take your guns in on trade or purchase them outright. Come in, see us first. 1/4 mile west of I-25 on Mulberry Street in Fort Collins. We're also the largest gun safe dealer in the region. We carry a full line of Security National and Liberty safes for your home, office, cabin, or RV use. Whatever your needs, we have the unit for you. Located 1/4 mile west of I-25 on Mulberry Street. Come see us at Rocky Mountain Shooter Supply.
16 of 16 terminally ill cancer patients fully recovered during a 1934 study sponsored by Dr. Milbank Johnson and the University of Southern California using Dr. Royal Rife's frequency generator. Rife invented the world's most powerful optical microscope capable of seeing a living virus. With it, he isolated bacteria and viruses that cause many diseases, such as asthma, allergies, arthritis, bronchitis, colitis, diabetes, Epstein-Barr, fibromyalgia, herpes, lupus, migraines, shingles, staph, strep, psoriasis, and more. Rife then found the frequencies that would destroy many viruses and bacteria. Doctors used Rife's instrument in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s and reported very high success rates. To receive the historic one-hour documentary about Dr. Royal Raymond Rife's lifelong quest to eliminate disease, call 1-888-486-4420. Call now for the free video and brochure about Rife's amazing discoveries. Call 1-888-486-4420 now.
They fight for freedom and justice, battling the most notorious evil villains the world has ever known.
My baby! Save him!
From far-off galaxies to the depths of the Earth, they face unspeakable foes that no one else dare. Banded together under one name, Batman, Robin, Wonder Woman, The Flash, and Green Lantern are the Justice League to help launch the 45th anniversary celebration of Six Flags, the biggest and best year that Six Flags has ever had. Don't miss the Island Kingdom Water Park with more than 11 great wet and wild rides and attractions, the new Daily Bugs Bunny Parade Spectacular, the all-new Carnival de Fuego Fireworks Show, and the amazing Acrobats of China. With all these amazing shows and rides, a trip to Six Flags Elitch Gardens is the most out of this universe fun your family can get in one non-stop action-packed day. Plus, meet and thank all of your favorite members of the Justice League for ridding the world of evildoers.
Curse you, Justice League!
Get your discount tickets at SixFlags.com. Six Flags Elitch Gardens. More than a theme park, it's an experience.
Items that you carry.
Oh, thanks, Dr. Stan. My website is AmericanMinute.com. That's AmericanMinute.com. And also a toll-free telephone number is 1-888-USA-WORD. 1-888-USA-WORD. And they can also sign up for the American Minute or order a book. I have a year's worth of the American Minutes put together in a book there at the AmericanMinute.com website.
Okay, fine. Well, then we'll get back to the story of Mexico, and of course, eventually Santa Anna is defeated. You were talking about how the Americans sent troops in. Was it 1848?
Right. Well, 1846, and then finally 1848 is when we had the treaty with Mexico, and we banished Santa Anna and tried to help them set up a government. And, of course, in that treaty for $15 million, we got California and Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona, Utah, you know, parts of Wyoming. So that was an important treaty. The Spaniards had a practice of claiming all the land they walked across. And so when the conquistadors wandered around North America in search of the seven cities of Silboa and, you know, all the Fountain of Youth and all those different things, they took that walking across as claiming ownership. And now, you know, today that wouldn't count. So the Spanish claim to all those states was based on the conquistadors walking across them. And so consequently, Mexico's claim to have those states was based on the Spanish claim, which goes back to the conquistadors walking across them. So it's the idea that, that we took the land from them, you know, it's sort of questionable how much right they had to it in the beginning, because they had very, very few people that actually lived in those areas. I mean, just a handful. And that's one of the reasons why the Spanish, you know, back when they were fighting the French, they invited Moses Austin and Stephen F. Austin to bring settlers into the area because they didn't have very much population there. But so anyway, after the Treaty of 1848, we had Benito Juarez took over in Mexico. He was fighting for the peasants, fighting for the lower class. Again, those were three classes of people: the rich Spaniards, and then the mestizos, which were the middle class, a small group of them, and then the poor Indian Mexican at the bottom. And so he came up with a new constitution of 1857, which strictly limited a lot of the Catholic Church and its influence, because the Catholic Church had sided together with the wealthy landowners to try to keep that 1824 constitution in place. They together appealed to France, to the Austrian Empire, which was controlling Europe at the time, and they asked if they could have Maximilian the First come over to be an emperor in Mexico, because he would support the Catholic Church and the wealthy ruling class. And so this poor Maximilian came over, and he was genuinely interested in setting up a very liberal, country with rights for the people, and you know, putting in place all kinds of reforms to help the country. But Benito Juarez didn't want any emperor, no matter how kind and considerate he was, and so he ended up capturing Maximilian the First and killing him. During this time, we were getting ready for our Civil War, and Lincoln supposedly liked Benito Juarez in his battle against the Europeans, and the story is that Lincoln had his soldiers, had the military lose some supplies along the border to help Benito Juarez, and there's actually a statue of Benito Juarez in Washington, D.C., right across from the Watergate building. Nevertheless, after Juarez died is when Porfirio Diaz took over. He ruled for 30 years, and he was in favor of the ruling class. He was had all kinds of rigged elections, and was so much not helping out the poor that a tremendous amount of discontent stirred. And in 1910 is when Porfirio Diaz had another election, but he rigged it completely, and so there was a revolt, and a guy named Madero took over. This is when makes you appreciate George Washington, because George Washington was a general who, after he fought, retired to Mount Vernon instead of becoming a dictator. And so here we have a whole other string of dictator type people. Madero was the first one, and he took over with the help of Generals Orozco and Huerta. And then right when he took over, Huerta wanted to be named some important position, and he didn't get it, so Huerta joined together with Orozco and killed Madero, and then Huerta took over. Woodrow Wilson decided to get involved. He didn't like Huerta, and of course these guys were killing and raping, and they had no their stories. That Teddy Roosevelt wrote a book called Fear God and Take Your Own Part, and in there he recites these horrors that took place in Mexico right on our border, and he criticizes Woodrow Wilson for ignoring our border with Mexico. Then Huerto's men would come across the border and they'd kill a bunch of Americans, and we had oil companies that had a lot of facilities there in Mexico around Tampico and Veracruz and so forth. So Woodrow Wilson sent down our ships to protect those oil interests, and they almost had a battle break out. When some of the men went ashore to get some barrels of oil, the Mexican troops of Huerta captured them, and they had a battle there, Woodrow Wilson had just about scaled back when the British intercepted the Zimmermann Telegraph, which was the Germans making a treaty with the Mexicans against America. And so this was another reason why Woodrow Wilson stayed involved, and we sent more troops down there. We basically kicked out Huerta, and we put in Carranza. Carranza was just as bad as Huerta and Madero. He was another butcher and killer. And unfortunately, since Porfirio Diaz was in favor of the rich and the Catholic Church, these people in the rebellion decided not only to be against the rich, but to be against the Catholic Church. And so there's all kinds of stories of them riding their horses into churches, breaking statues, feeding the host to the horses, and having orgies around the altar, and desecrating all the chalices and so forth, and raping whole convents of nuns. You know, the nuns all had to go to the houses for unwed mothers, and they would kill priests. They actually made it into their 1917 Constitution.
We'll be back in just a moment here with William Feather as we go through the history of Mexico.
Tapes of the preceding show are available by calling 1-800-205-6245, the American Freedom Network.
Pure drinking water is essential to a healthy life, and everyone using the British Birkfield and Berkey series of water filters will benefit by adding the PF4 reduction elements to their system. The PF4 works to help absorb MTBE, fluoride, lead, and arsenic, as well as DBCPs, THMs, and various pesticides and herbicides, and heavy metal ions. A set of four PF4 filters are available for only $85 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245.
Come and experience praise and worship from a prophetic and Hebraic perspective. Voice of Many Waters Ministry presents Michael and Danette Golden, Saturday, June 17th, 7 p.m. at 3J's Coffee House, 21 North Parish Avenue, Johnstown, Colorado. Call 970-587-5267 or 303-654-9924 for more information. That's Saturday, June 17th, 7 p.m.
Hi, I'm Eric Cederstrom for the Patriot Trading Group. The trade deficit is out of control, the budget deficit is eating this country alive, Social Security is wrecked, and most of America's pension funds are underwater. Interest rates are rising, and the dollar is heading into the abyss. When the U.S. dollar collapses, taking with it your stocks, bonds, and 401ks, will you survive? The economic problems facing this country are catastrophic. The time to protect yourself is now. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 480-575-7525, located in Carefree. We offer all forms of U.S. gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Nobody does it better. Call 480-575-7525, and we'll be happy to quote your prices or send you out a free brochure. Remember, hard assets will be there when all else fails. Call 480-575-7525 and you'll be treated with honesty and respect. You've got my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Well, Dr. Stan, here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, William Federer, and we're covering the history of Mexico. Go ahead, Bill.
So from 1810 all the way up to 1917, there is this continual revolution almost in Mexico. And Woodrow Wilson decided that he wanted to overthrow Huerta because he was the one that they intercepted the Zimmerman telegraph coming from Germany. And so Woodrow Wilson decided to put in place Carranza, who was just another bandito gang leader, killing and raping. And I talked about how they had put in a new constitution under Carranza that took all the property away from the Catholic Church, and since that was the only church, they wrote it into the Constitution where all churches' property belonged to the government. So as of 1917, every church in Mexico belonged to the government. They would take the convents and the schools and the priories and the seminaries and turn them into government buildings or just trash them. They had the government supervise every religious service in the country, and this is still in the Constitution to this day, that no minister can comment on anything political, that the government would decide how many ministers would be allowed in every city, and they've made it a crime for a minister to be in public with any identifying feature. And so for the Catholic priest, if they went out in public wearing in their priest outfit, they'd get killed. And many were killed simply for wearing their habit or their religious clothes out in public. Just horrible crimes that took place. And one of the anyway, but so we supported Carranza, whose generals included Pancho Villa and Emiliano Zapata. Well, no sooner had Carranza got in place than he and Pancho Villa had a parting of ways, and so Pancho Villa got upset that we supported Carranza instead of him, and so he takes off and decides to attack America. And he comes across the border in Columbus, New Mexico, and butchers a bunch of people. There's, you know, Americans on trains in Chiapas and Chihuahua, and he just kills them. And here's the El Paso Morning Times in 1914. Talks about, stated that in the firing by Mexican soldiers across the border, fully 50 persons, including American soldiers, were wounded. It says over 57 were shot in another place where the men included soldiers walking their beats as sentries. It says the arms and ammunition used to kill American women and children and American soldiers were purchased in the United States. It says enlisted men refused to reenlist under orders of the administration that they were, that when fired upon, the Americans were not to return fire on the Mexicans. Woodrow Wilson didn't respond when these different things happened. It says five persons were killed and 47 wounded on the American side of the borderline by stray bullets shot from Mexicans. And this is Woodrow Wilson quoting this. He says, this man said, my wife was shot in the neck in our home 600 yards from the line when she was reading. Anyway, just a horrible crimes that went along the border there. They had hundreds of priests rounded up and put in jail. The cathedrals were turned into barracks by orders of General Villa. He required in this one spot where 1 million pesos had to be gathered by the priests within 24 hours or they would all be shot. So these priests went out begging from house to house, getting pennies from children. Then a girl was raped by one of the soldiers in a room adjoining there. And anyway, they raised a couple hundred thousand pesos, and the priests were allowed to flee with nothing but their clothes that they were wearing. Another Reverend Michael Kubizka was a Jesuit, and he was tortured and ordered to tell them where their money was hidden, and they put a horsehair rope around his neck and choked him until he became unconscious. When he came to, Baca fired the revolver near his head and commanded him to tell where There was, but there was no money, and so they did it again and again. And anyway, just case after case of this horrendous situation going on in Mexico. And of course, this is in the book that Teddy Roosevelt is criticizing Woodrow Wilson for not taking serious our situation on the border. Long story short, we do send General Blackjack Pershing down into Mexico with 20,000 troops. Carranza would not help us and would not let General Pershing use the railroads to give us supplies, so he had a tremendous logistic challenge. We didn't catch Pancho Villa, but we did chase him around enough so that he lost his influence. Carranza ordered Emilio Zapata in the south assassinated, and he was, and Pancho Villa was assassinated, and we don't know who ordered it, and then finally Carranza was assassinated himself. So it's just a total confusion that went on. Finally they had a gentleman named Calle, C-A-L-L-E, take over, and he began to enforce more of the anti-Catholic legislation. And that's the way that was up until today. So they're still operating under their 1917 strongly anti-Christian, anti-church constitution. Just recently, within the last 10, 15 years, the different Christian groups were able to get it passed through the Mexican government where basically a church could form an association. And the church members were members of the association, and so the association got to own property, and so that was sort of a way to let the church have a church building without the government taking it away. We did have a problem during Eisenhower's administration with illegal aliens coming across, and so he offered an amnesty thing for them, and with the security, a wetback type program, but that, you know, got attention for a little while, and it was forgotten. Kennedy was a big change. Kennedy changed the immigration quotas in the 1960s. He noticed that the immigrants from Western European countries, you know, the European countries, tended to be assimilate more into America and tended to become business owners and tended to become Republicans. And that he noticed the poor immigrants ended up becoming more dependent on the state and ended up voting Democrat. So he actually changed the immigration quotas to more, to have more immigrants come from Mexico and from the Asian countries.
Hey, we're out of time, Bill. Thanks very much for being with us. We'll talk to you later.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Pain, it can really affect your day. If you're looking for a natural way to help with your pain, Healthy Nature's NutriPain may be just for you. Whole dried herbs are specially blended to help ease your muscles or sore joints. A 60-capsule bottle is just $12.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 and ask for Healthy Nature's NutriPain.
American Biotech Labs, a world leader in silver technology, introduces Silverbiotics, a patented silver supplement that's the ultimate immune system support. Doctor recommended and a natural alternative. Dr. Ken Friedman, a medical research writer and author of the book The New Silver Solution, states, Silverbiotics is 96.8% bioavailable and can safely be used every day to support a healthy immune system. To order your Silverbiotics, call 1-800-205-6245. That's 1-800-205-6245.
Buffalo Bill Cody, frontiersman, buffalo hunter, showman, not exactly a guy who was easily entertained. That's why he spent so much time in Denver. There was always something going on, just like today. From world-class sports, shopping, performing arts, museums, and restaurants, Denver has it all. Why go anywhere else? Invite your family to experience a Mile High Energy, too. Find visitor specials for the holidays, New Year's, and beyond at Denver.org. Sponsored by the Denver Metro Convention and Visitors Bureau and aired in cooperation with the Colorado Broadcasters Association and this station.
on back here at the American Freedom Network to really understand what is going on in America today as far as immigration. You really need to get our four tapes out on immigration. You need to understand that the immigration crisis we have is all engineered. It's all created by those people who want to destroy America, to destroy our sovereignty, to merge us with Mexico and certainly with Canada. And those of you who didn't hear our interview with Dr. Corsi the other morning need to get a copy of that. It's available certainly through the American Freedom Network, or we have other interviews with Dr. Corsi, and we'll be putting together a new four-tape set. We have one excellent four-tape set now on immigration. But to understand it, you must understand that it's all a mirage. It's all created by the Ford Foundation and the great tax-exempt foundations who are using the Mexican people, bringing them into America to create a bilingual, bicultural society so they can play one group against the other and, of course, eventually lead to the destruction of America. They have an agenda. They have a plan. They believe in a one-world government because they worship a different God. And when you understand that, there's a spiritual component to it, it all begins to make sense. Now, we do carry a four-tape set on immigration. We carry the book Importing Revolution. We have a great DVD put out by Immigration Control Organization by Glenn Spencer called The Conquest of Aztlan. It's available on DVD. And then, of course, we carry the book Foundations, Their Power and Influence. This is all funded by the Great Tax Exempt Foundation, which represent the people of great wealth, the people who control the Trilateral Commission and the CFR and Bilderbergers. And I know when I went back and spent some time at the CFR, and of course you had to sign in there after you got past the armed guards. And there were the people from the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, and the Carnegie Foundation, all there at the CFR. The CFR coordinates the control of our government. We have a one-party system with leaders who control both the Republican and the Democrat Party, and if we don't get involved and take America back, we're going to lose our freedom. That is the plan. They intend to impoverish the American people. If you have never read the Grand Plan, it's called the Earth Charter, and it's available on the Internet. It's available from Radio Liberty. We have copies of it in our Sustainable Development syllabus. We have copies in our Financial Tsunami syllabus. You need to get that information. Right now, of course, the markets, stock markets are in free fall throughout the world. They're going to bring about an economic crisis, and through that economic crisis, enslave and impoverish our people. And enslaved and impoverished people go along with their rulers, don't they? And who are the rulers? People of great wealth in America who want the same sort of government here that we have in Mexico. If you'd like to get our material, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our website, radioliberty.com. The books, Importing Revolution, Foundations, Their Power and Influence, the Four Tapes on Immigration, and of course the DVD, The Conquest of Aztlan. That means they're going to hope to take California and New Mexico and Colorado and certainly Texas and unite them with Mexico. They are deadly serious about this. They are well financed. But of course, they're never going to accomplish that. They're not going to have an independent Mexico. We're all going to unite under this wonderful new idea of uniting the Northern Hemisphere and then the world to a one-world dictatorship under the coming Antichrist. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Because without revival, we're going to lose now. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
Talk to the American Freedom Network? Contact us at P.O. Box 1750, Johnstown, Colorado 80534, or online at AmericaNewsNet.com.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennis Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
This is Michael Golden.